Philippians chapter 1. I know Pastor's been covering the book of Philippians. That's still where the Lord wants us to go. You remember that glorious day when the Lord saved you? I hope that you do. And if you don't, then today's a good, glorious day to get saved. And any day's a good day to get saved. And get saved while you can, because the Lord is coming. He's coming, coming, coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Do pray for the youth this morning and all those that went with them. And a lot of people went. And we definitely need to pray for them. I think there's 48 teenagers. That's a lot of teenagers. Amen. You know what I said this morning when I woke up? Thank you, Lord, for letting me be the associate pastor. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not the youth pastor. Amen. We've been there, ain't we, Brother Clark? 30 was good enough for me. Amen. Hallelujah. No, I tell you what, Brother Ladd and Miss Ladd, I know we brag on people a lot, but we know the Lord's working through them. Amen. And me and my wife have talked about this before. And usually when we think about the youth, we say, Lord, you should never say, Lord, please don't do this, because that's why I'm in Texas. It's because I said, Lord, please don't send me back to Texas, and that's why I'm here. But I love Texas, by the way. Don't kill me. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that the Lord has not called me to be a youth pastor again. I've been it for 8 years, or how long it was, and that was good enough for me. But I'll tell you what, it takes special people, and it takes a calling of God upon their life. And Brother Ladd and Miss Ladd definitely have that calling upon their lives. And so I'm proud to be on staff with Brother Latta. And I'm glad we have a pastor that loves youth. I'm glad that a lot of churches, there's a separation between the pulpit and the youth department. And I'm glad in our church we don't have that. Our pastor is just as involved in the youth department as he is in any department of our church. And we ought to be thankful for that. And the youth department is not a self-entity that's running itself. It's part of this church. And we work together, and so I'm glad Pastor's with him, and he always has a good time. He always acts like he's going, you know, just to be a counselor, but usually he's the one bothering the kids. And so be in prayer for all of them. I just pray God saves some souls this week and changes some lives, and if he'll do that, we'll just give him praise and glory for that. Philippians chapter 1, Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Philippi is a kind of a hill town, part of Macedonia. Remember when Paul got the call, the Macedonian call, said, come over here. Paul went, and by the way, just because Paul went doesn't mean that everything went well for him. Matter of fact, I believe when he wrote this letter that there were some people, maybe the recipients of this letter, that was maybe a lady called Lydia. She was a seller of purple. And Paul witnessed to her and won her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, if you think about the Philippian jailer, the Philippian jailer and his family was won to Christ by Paul. And can't you imagine, maybe they were a part of this church? I don't know. Maybe the time frame's different, but I do realize this, is that whenever they read this letter and they read that first word, Paul, I believe our ears perked up and said, oh, it's Paul writing to us, one who loves us and cares for us. And by the way, when you open the Bible, you ought to just hear Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that's wrote this book, and he's wrote it for me and for you. Why? Because he loves us. And Paul says, look at verse 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, of course, Theophilus there, or Timotheus, the servants, notice that, of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. I bet that's good news whenever you're reading the letter, and maybe you're going through that tough time as a church, and maybe the church is not growing the way it should be growing, you think, and they're reading this letter, and Paul says, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm telling you what, that's encouraging to know that there's somebody praying for you. Amen. By the way, how do you think our missionaries feel if we don't pray for them? They want us praying for them. And by the fact, you know what I read all the time in our letters? That our missionaries are praying for us. It's a group effort, amen. And so Paul here, he says, hey, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6 is where we'll draw our text this morning. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I'll preach on this subject this morning, performing until perfection. Performing until perfection. Look at verse 6 again. It says, "And being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will" what? "Perform it." He will perform it when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day of our redemption. That's the day when Jesus calls the church home. That's the day whenever I leave this vile body behind and I enter into the joys of heaven. And guess what? When I enter into the joys of heaven, I'll never depart from Jesus Christ ever again. Hallelujah. And as we'll preach this morning, we'll talk about Jesus just performing. Jesus is the great. He's performing our lives, my friends. By the way, aren't you glad the Scripture says that He never leave us nor forsake us? I'm glad He's always conducting our lives. And we'll get in that in just a moment after we pray. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord. Now, Lord, You know my heart this morning. It's full. Lord, it's just wanting to serve You. And Lord, I realize this morning my words that I would have to say would mean nothing to this congregation. But Lord, Your words will be so sweet and powerful unto them. So God, I yield myself before You today. And I ask that You would just use my voice as Your instrument. And Lord, that You would speak to Your people, Lord, through Your word and through that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just lift You up above all others. And You said if we lift You up, that You draw all men unto Yourself. And so, Father, that's what we do this morning. And God, we thank You for loving us. And thank You for Your precious word. And Lord, we thank You that You're ever in our lives working and chiseling away those rough edges of our life. And Lord, until that day of perfection. Lord, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look in this key scripture here, and of course, if you look at verses 1 and 2, I'll give you a little introduction here. Verses 1 and 2 is a recognition. Paul's recognizing this church. He's telling them, hey, this is me writing it. And he's writing it to the bishops and he's writing to the deacons. But I like what he says. He writes to all the saints there. He says, I'm recognizing who I'm writing this to, verses 3 and 4. He draws their remembrance. He says, I want you to remember that I'm praying for you, that I have you in my heart. I have you in my prayers. And then he gives them a reminder in verses 5. 5 and 6, he reminds them that God is ever working in the lives of the Christians, that God does not leave us, God does not look at our life, and when something different happens from His will, He goes, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. God just keeps being performing in our life. He keeps performing in our life as our God and as our Savior. I like verse 6, he says, being confident. I like that. I tell you what, if there's one thing I don't have confidence in, it's me. Amen. I have no confidence in me. You know why? Because I fail too many times. But can I remind you this morning that I have all my confidence in my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never failed me, not one time. And so I am confident. But notice what he says. That of this one thing, what is it? That he which hath begun a good work. I like that. It's a good work that God is doing in us. And God is performing this work in us. It's a good work. But notice where he says a good work is. He says, in you. It's in us. By the way, what is in you this morning? You know what's in me? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in my life. What is His job to do? Well, you study the book of John, you'll see the Holy Spirit's in our lives to change our lives, to transform our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. He's to illuminate us to what God's Word says. And He speaks to us when we need direction in our life. And when we go the wrong direction, He says, hey, wait a minute. Amen. You ever feel that little, that's God saying, that's not right. You ever step across the line of God's will and you just, oh, hey, listen, there's a lot of people that live with that all their life because they never get back into God's will. And they live with that tension in their life. They deal with that regret in their life. But I want to tell you, I'm glad we have a God that cares enough about us to correct us when we're wrong. And to encourage us when we're right. Now notice what he says, that good work in you will perform it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to give you three things this morning. I believe that will help us as we think about Jesus Christ performing in our lives until perfection. Notice number one, the conducting. God, Christ is conducting our lives. He's conducting our lives. Now, most of you know that I'm the choir director here. I'm no good at it, but I know how to wave my arms. And as you watch me lead the choir, and as I lead them, and hey, listen, not everybody knows what a triplet is, what a 16th note is, what an 8th note is, and what a natural is, what a flat and a sharp is. They just want me to do this. A lot of them know a lot more than I do in this choir, but I don't let them know that, so y'all don't tell them, okay? But I get up there and I direct, but if you'll watch, now this is going to put our choir on the spot. There's some of them that watch me. Then there's some that don't. It's funny sometimes. We'll change the song up just a little bit, and I'll go, and somebody go, eh, whoa, eh. Sound like an Indian, you know, chant or something, you know. And it's funny, you know, because I'm up there trying to conduct. And listen to me. It's not the choir. Now, a lot of times it is the choir director's fault, so don't blame me. But as I'm up there directing, and if I'm on time and if I'm doing everything right, it's the choir's job to watch and to follow my lead. And that's why they call it the choir director or the choir leader. And as I'm leading, and sometimes I'll stop it. Sometimes I'll bring it in. Sometimes I'm like, hey, come on, let's pump it up a little bit. Give your voice over. I'm like, they're so timid. Blessed assurance. Like, open your mouth. I'm going, come on. We're singing for the Lord this morning. Blessed assurance. Now, I have a set of lungs like nobody else in this building. Me and Mike is on the same level. But I'm telling you what, this morning, hey man, that kid can sing. And as I'm up there directing, and the choir's watching me, but listen, here's the thing, is that God is always conducting our life. He's always directing our life. And it's up to us to watch Him and to pay attention to Him and to submit to His directing in our life. But as it is in every choir, every congregation, I'll be up here leading congregations. Hey, listen, there's a lot of you need to get on board with the singing. You're talking, and you're thinking about lunch, and it's time to lay all that aside and sing, and pick your hymn book up and sing. Some of you are not following along. But some of us aren't following along with God conducting our life. God's trying to make a beautiful song. He'll take those chords that were out of tune and maybe some strings that were broken, and he'll make them, as the song says, vibrate once more. He'll make a beautiful melody out of your life if you'll just allow Him to conduct it. And I'll tell you what, most of y'all know I play the piano. That's about all I do. And I don't read the notes. I hear it in my head and I put it on my fingers. God does it all. And sometimes I'll be playing like, oh man, I hit that wrong note. Now, see, I have something built into me that God put in me, and I sometimes I wish it wasn't there, but when somebody hits a wrong note, I'm serious as with my hand raised. My wife can tell you. My heart, it actually hurts my heart. It actually makes my heart flutter. When somebody hits a beat and it's, I'm telling you, it hurts inside of me. But you know what? Can you imagine when God's conducting our life and we're off beat, we're off key? Isn't it beautiful when Miss Roberta plays? I love to hear Miss Roberta play, and I promise she never hits her own chord. Never, never, never. I'm telling you, she sits at that piano. I love piano music, but I'm telling you what, you ever met somebody who thought they could play? And they sit down there, and I hear Miss Roberta play a song, and I'll come in here on Monday mornings, and I'm like, I think I can do that. And I'll sit down at that piano, and I'm like, oh, that's not even close to what she was doing. And I'm telling you, I hit every wrong chord on there, and I'm telling you what, there's nobody going out here on the thing. They're clapping when I'm done. Amen. You as a, even if you have no musical knowledge, you realize what true harmony is. You realize that in your ear when something's not right. And if Miss Roberta was up there and she was playing this chord and she accidentally hit a chord, you would know it. Why? Because it's built into us. But here's the thing is that as children of God, God's up there conducting our life, directing our life, and He's trying to make a beautiful melody. By the way, as a church, He's trying to make us sing together. The same song on the same key, and we're singing together as a church. And matter of fact, there's always that one person in every crowd. Usually it's our pastor who has to sing on his own. Sometimes it's me. But you know, you're singing a blessed assurance. And then there's that one person always, blessed assurance. Show off. You ever meet those people in life? Well, we think about when God's conducting our life. And God's all wanting us to sing blessed assurance. Jesus, there's always people saying, you know what, I think I'd sing it better. Does it drive you crazy to hear people sing the national anthem? Amen. And take them 20 minutes to sing a 2-minute song? Oh, say can you see? I'm like, you lost me. My hand cannot stay on my heart that long. Just sing it. You know, oh, say, can you see? I believe our men in uniform, I believe the men and women of our country, they're pleased with that. But you watch them on the basketball game, it's like, I'll show y'all. And you're like, I don't even realize it's our national anthem anymore. Amen. I like just to hear it sung. Hey, listen, sometimes we grab the mic from our Lord and Savior. Sometimes God wants to hear us sing. Miss Linda sings that song, beautiful song. And sometimes God is conducting our life and we're watching Him. And man, we're on key and we're on tempo and everything's going good. And then we realize, hey, wait a minute, I think I got this thing. And we grab that mic away from God and say, I got this. No. And everybody's like, the rest of the church is going, hey, we were all singing together for a while there. And then the show off had to come. You know what that is? That's the devil saying, hey, well, you can do better than that. See, we live in a world today where we don't like the normal. We live in the world where if I can look at stream, I want to look it. If I can sing at stream, I'll do it. Right? Now, I'm all for using your talents to the best of your ability. If you can sing high, sing high. If you can sing low, hit those low notes. Hey, listen, if God's blessed you, hey, use it to the full range that God's given you. But listen, it just irritates me when somebody's, you know, the rest of the group, they're singing it in tune, and then somebody's grab that mic away and say, I got this, fellas. Or ladies. I don't think Jesus is too happy with the ooh anyway. The choir can tell you when we do oohs in the choir, I take them out. I don't like them because they don't mean nothing. Now sometimes we use it to kind of lift up the words that are singing above it. But hey, listen, sometimes God gives us that mic and He says, there's no spotlight on you, by the way. One of the greatest joys of my life. I better be careful. I used the equipment last time. Y'all know what happened. One of the greatest joys of my life is somebody had asked me to sing at a wedding or a funeral. And sometimes you get mixed up which one you're at. And I'm telling you what, the greatest thing I love is whenever they put flowers everywhere. And I sing behind the flowers. Or greater than that, Brother Cox, I forgot what funeral home it was we was at last time together. But they have a back room with a keyboard and a monitor. Glory. I love that. Nobody looking at me. If I want to leave, I can leave. Nobody even know I wasn't even there. You know what? I like that. I like being the person in the back. I like for Jesus to be in the forefront. And I like whenever I sing a song that I want my Savior to be lifted up. I want my Savior to be glorified and honored. And that's why I've always hated people to clap at me. Don't clap at me. Hey, listen, give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us the song anyway. God's the one that gave me the ability that I have. And listen to me, the abilities that you have is God's anyway. And God's trying to conduct your life. He's trying to make you on tempo. He's trying to make you in sequence with others. And by the way, the key to the church of Acts is that they were all in one accord. They were all in one place. They were singing the same song in the same key. But today it's like, you know what? That song's old. Give me the mic. I got this. Listen to me today. God's just trying to conduct your life. God's trying to conduct your life and you must rely. And Paul said, being confident of this very thing, He which begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to keep performing it. By the way, let's just be honest with us. Sometimes our life is a sad song. Sometimes it is that song that there's a lot of them in our hymns that are not like, woohoo! Sometimes it's those songs like, you know, that you sing that are just comforting, encouraging to you. Sometimes it is that song of joy. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes it is that song in our life. Whatever song it is in our life, whatever stage of life you are in, God's conducting it. Aren't you glad that when you get off key, God doesn't say, get out of the choir? I like to do that sometimes. I'm talking about kicking myself out of the choir. But you know what? God just says, you know what? Was off key. Let's get that right. I'm glad I serve a God that we come before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He says, that's all right. I forgive you. Let's keep singing. God doesn't quit conducting just because you have a bad day. God doesn't quit performing in your life just because you're mad at somebody. God is always conducting. God is always, and that's what Paul was saying. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter the church at Philippi, what you're going through. It doesn't matter the hardships that you're going through. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It's that God's going to perform it whether you're there or not. And we must just realize and look to Jesus and say, you know what, I submit to you and conduct my life. You know what happens a lot in our life? You ever, which if you live in Texas anywhere, you know what this means, flagman ahead. Amen? Construction's the next 400 million miles. What happens if that guy turns that sign around that says stop and you say, I'm tired, I've been sitting here a long time, and you just go on. He's trying to conduct you. He's saying stop, and sometimes that's the way God does in our life. And we just blow past it. Guess what? We don't just injure ourselves, do we? Brother Michael Terry was in a wreck this week and flipped his car end on end three times. What happened? Well, a guy fell asleep on 35 and ran into him. Caused him to flip, and thank God all he has is a broke collarbone. He's fine other than that. But the other person was not following the law. Who did he hurt? He didn't just hurt himself. He hurt who? He hurt others. And sometimes in our life, when we don't allow God to conduct our life, when we don't allow God to direct our lives, we're not just hurting ourselves. We're hurting those around us. And we got to let Him conduct our lives. Number two, Christ is not only conducting our lives, but He's conforming our lives. Notice what He said again, that He will perform it when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? That's the day of perfection. One day we're going to be perfect, but until then we're imperfect people. Right now I'm an imperfect person. I still have this flesh that I'm robed in, and guess what? It's not saved. It's not sanctified. It's worldly, and it draws me away from God sometimes. And I have that war, as Paul has stated several times. There's a war in my spirit and my flesh. They're contrary one to another, and I'm constantly being pulled to one side or the other. And sometimes the flesh wins, and sometimes the spirit wins. But here's what Paul said. He said that it's not I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. Paul said, listen, it's not anything I've done. And that's, if you read the whole book of Philippians, matter of fact, Paul's goal with the book of Philippians is for this church to have Christ-like mind. And in having a Christ-like mind, as pastor's been teaching, you have joy in serving Jesus Christ. It brings about joy. And Paul's encouraging this church. He's reminding them that what's happening in their life. Matter of fact, you study the book of Philippians, the word suffer comes up a little bit. You know why? Because sometimes in suffering, that's God conducting our life to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you've ever had braces, I had braces many, 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 many years ago. I still have some of them on the bottom of my teeth now. Some of y'all be looking for them. And I never will forget whenever I went in that dentist office, and thank the Lord they didn't have to pull any teeth, but they had to separate some teeth. And they put those little separating bands in there. Nobody warned me about those. Everybody warned me about the braces, said they'll hurt, you know, when they tighten them up. But nobody said, hey, when they put those bands in there to space your teeth out, that's going to hurt worse than anything else. Well, I never forget, I went in there and they put those spacers in between my teeth. Oh, I lost so much weight because I didn't want to eat because my mouth was so sore. But you know what? All of that pain is worth it now. When you don't stare at my teeth, but many of you have had braces and you realize that it does hurt. But what does it do? It's trying to conform it into an image that they wanted in. and to correct those crooked teeth that I once had and to make them straight again. Hey, listen, I had to go through that pain. And some of you, if you've had a dislocated shoulder, you had a bone broken and put it back in place, hey, it doesn't feel good. I've been in the ER when they've reset bones, reset sockets and all that. I've been in there and I've never had nobody go, "Whoo, that, hallelujah." Not yet. I've been to many homes where a person has failed and dislocated their hip or broken their hip. And I'm telling you, they're never sitting there laughing. It's always painful. But listen, sometimes when they reset that, and it's painful, I realize it, but it's to what? To conform it to the way it should be. And in our lives, sometimes God has to pull and God has to chisel away things in our life that's not pleasing to Him. And why is He doing that? To conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We see the, "Let Him have His way with thee." I love that song. Just let God have His way in your life. He's trying to conform you. By the way, the reason that God cannot conform us a lot of times is because it's my will and not His will. You ever been there? You ever been there and God's telling you to do something? God's directing your life this way and He's conducting your life and you're going, "Let Him have His way with you, not me. Just as you are, I surrender most. I surrender some." That's really what we ought to be singing. Because sometimes we don't let God have it all. And surrender our will to His and say, "Lord, here am I. Lord, conform my life into the image of Christ." Sometimes it's going to hurt. You know why it's going to hurt? Because we're not in the image of Christ. Christ has to bend us and mold us and make us into His image. Notice the last thing tonight, this morning. I love this. I love the last part of this verse. He says that He'll work, He will perform it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. Can I remind you that not only is Christ conducting our lives, not only is He conforming our lives, but can I just remind you this morning, He's coming for our lives. He's coming for us. And you say, why do you think Paul mentions so much about heaven? As a matter of fact, if you read the rest of this chapter and you read chapter 2, he talks about, as a matter of fact, in the same chapter, he talks about for me, notice verse 24, he says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He says, verse 23, go back if you will, he says, "For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He says, "But the Lord's leaving me here," verse 24 tells us, "for you." He says, I really want to leave. I really want to depart this world, he says, but I can't. You know what, Paul, several times in his writings, hey, matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians reminds us of the rapture. He says that Christ is going to, we're going to be caught up with Him in the air, and he reminds them several times, these churches, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Just hang in there. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get your feelings hurt at church. By the way, if you expect it, it doesn't surprise you. Pastor says it all the time, "I'm going to disappoint you." You know why? Because I'm human and I'm flesh. If I haven't disappointed you yet, just wait on it. It's coming. And hopefully I'll have enough common sense and God sense to ask you to forgive me when I do fail you, just as I do with my wife. I wish mine and my wife's marriage will be married 18 years this year, right? Hallelujah, got it right. Practice that. And I promise you, not every year of those almost 18 years have we always treated each other correctly. 99% of the time we did. But I'm the 1%. And you know what I do whenever I come to my wife? I say, "I'm sorry. I probably had to do it sometime today." Listen to me. I'm glad I got a wife that says, "I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry too." Woohoo! Hallelujah. We just keep going. We keep going. Why? Because this world's not our home. This world's too short to fuss and fight with your spouse and with your church member. Hey, Paul always tells the people, hey, when you're going through those little schisms, when you're going through those problems and those valleys and those trials, just be reminded that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back and he's encouraging them, saying, hey, listen, let the Lord conduct your life and conform your life, but always be reminded that he's coming for your life. And one day that trumpet's going to sound. Amen. We which are alive and remain, we're going second. But that's okay. I don't think we're going to notice it. I don't think we're going to care that we're second. I just care that I'm going. Amen. And you know what I realized in my life? I'm not going through a lot of trials and errors in my life. I mean, I go through battles like everybody else. But I do realize this whenever I go through those things that, it'll be all right. Why? Because this is temporary. That's okay if certain people don't like you. It's okay if they don't like you because you're a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. But I have to look beyond that, and when we see Christ, one day he's coming. One day he's going to call my name. One day he's going to call your name. And he's coming for us. Just keep going. Paul encourages the church at Philippi. Hey, he was reminding them, hey, I understand you're going to go through trials. I understand you're going to go through troubles. But remind you, hey, I'm praying for you. But greater than all of that, Christ is coming for you. The reason that we fail in this life is that we fail to look up. And realize that our redemption cometh from God and not from man. You're here this morning. There's got to be somebody here this morning that you know in your heart that if Jesus was to sound that trumpet, you wouldn't go because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, good news, good news, good news. We have a Bible that tells us how to get to heaven. I was riding along with my pastor one day. I was just a young preacher boy. We were riding along the church van. Our preacher was crazy. Still is. He pulled off the side of the road, saw these guys outside. He jumped out. He said, hey, guys. He said, we're lost. I was like, we're not lost. He said, can y'all give me directions? They said, where you need to go? He's like, I need to go to heaven. Can you tell me how to get there? I'm telling you what. I get out of the van reluctantly. Made sure there was no gunfire. Amen, Brother Juan. I got out, and I'm telling you what. Before I knew it, he had his little New Testament open showing those guys how to get to heaven. Because you know what they said? We don't know. He said, well, let me show you. Whew. That was a good day. I never will forget that day all my life. I tried to use it and nobody even listened to me. My pastor had that special, I'm telling you, he did. But I'm here to tell you that we have the answer, the roadmap to heaven. And it is through Jesus Christ. Nobody cometh unto the Father but by Him, He said, that you can't enter to heaven without Jesus Christ. By the way, you say, well, why ain't Christ conducting my life? Because He's not your Savior. There's another one directing your life. By the way, He always wants you to be off tune. And He always wants you to sing a solo. That's why He was kicked out of heaven. By the way, if you study Satan, he was a musician. He was of a music. By the way, why is music so important today in our lives? Go to a restaurant, get in your car, turn on your cell phone. Music is everywhere. Satan's powerful. He knows how to use it. And he can use it, but just as God uses it for good, amen. And as we look at our lives and we see that some of you here today may be lost and never trusted Jesus Christ, I'm glad God has a plan for you. That He has a plan of salvation for you to come to Jesus Christ, to come to God through Jesus Christ. That He shed His blood for you. You say, I want Him direct my life. I want Him conducting my life and conforming my life. You know what kills me? Is that I talk to people that are lost and they'll admit that they're lost. They're like, you probably heard this. Well, as soon as I get rid of this, this, and this, and this, I'm going to come to church. As soon as I get rid of all this stuff in my life that is bad, I'm going to get trust Jesus Christ my Savior. Can I just encourage you real quick? You'll never give it up without Jesus Christ. You know why? Because notice what he says, he which begun a good work in you. What is the beginning of this good work?
It's when you trust Jesus Christ and He places the Holy Spirit in your life to dwell forever until when? The day of redemption, the day of Jesus Christ. That's it, my friends, is that you can't live a good life outside of Jesus Christ. You can't live a good life outside of the Holy Spirit directing your life. By the way, God conducts our lives from the inside out through the Holy Spirit. He conforms our life. But one day is going to come for your life, and if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. And boy, there's a lot I could say there. But can I tell you, once you're left behind, that's it for you. You no longer will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're done. And that day could be today, my friends. I urge each and every one to look in your heart and make sure you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved today. But if you're here this morning, maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're doing your own conducting. By the way, I tried it. Trust me, it doesn't work. I always end up going the wrong way. Matter of fact, I was visiting a family in our church that's here this morning. I left their house and I went to pull out on the little road there. And I was not paying attention and didn't realize that it was a one way. And I turned. I'm like, why are all these cars on my lane? Thank God for the Chevy. I made a U-turn really quick-like. I realized that I was going south on a northbound lanes. Not a good idea. People get hurt that way. I'm telling you what, you know what? I thought about actually jumping over the curb, but I was afraid that the church people there visiting our church was watching, and I figured that wouldn't be a good testimony. Well, I turned around. I had to go back down just a little bit and turn. I'm telling you what, I was like, whew, I could have been hurt just that quick. But greater than that, I could have hurt somebody else. And in our lives, you don't have to be far away from God's will and God's conducting your life to be hurt or to hurt someone else. It can be one step away from where God wants you. Can I just say something this morning to encourage you? But also to warn you? There's been many people take one step out of God's will and never come back. Don't think that you got to be a murderer to be out of God's will. Don't judge your life according, well, I'm not as bad as them. Hey, that's not how we judge. We don't judge according to somebody else. You'll always look good if you judge according to somebody else. I'd always find somebody else that's worse off than I am. But I don't judge myself according to others. I judge myself according to the perfect will of God, the Word of God, and what Christ has for my life. That's how I judge. And I realize that one step away from that, I could be injured or even I could injure somebody else. But greater than all that, I could never go back to where God really wants me. Now, do I lose my salvation? No. But boy, I sure do lose that joy of serving my Lord. He wants to conduct your life. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Whew. There's sometimes, man, Lord's just conducting my life. There's other times I'm like, ooh, I think this would be a little bit better. Sometimes I do that with our choir. And it don't turn out so good. I'm like, I know that's how this song is written, but let me change it up just a little bit. And it usually falls on my face sometimes. You know what? Sometimes we do that with God. Allow Him to conduct your life. So let's stand this morning. His bowed eyes closed. Our musicians come. I want to pray. And then we'll sing a verse of invitation this morning. But I want to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I just want to, before I pray, I want to ask you. That if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Williams, I don't know that I'm saved 100%. Could I beg and plead with you that once we give this invitation, that you come and allow somebody to open their Bible and show you how to be saved? If you're here this morning, maybe you're not allowing God to conduct your life and conform your life into the image of Christ. Why don't you just come? And by the way, God's forgiving. He'll forgive you and you can get back in and the choir and once again, let God conduct your life. Whatever your need is this morning, these altars are open for you after we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. And Heavenly Father, this morning we realize that you want to be a part of our life in directing our life and being our master and our Lord. Lord, this morning we just have to give you control and submit our lives to you. Lord, help us this morning. And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. God, this morning, please, I beg you and I plead with you to bless this hour of invitation. Lord, may everything that be done bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hymn 534, cleanse me, hymn 534, as you look this way, hymn 534. If you need to come, come on this first.